That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
LaFondra looking to get close side of Font. LaFondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to this rather feeble instalment of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast with me, Jacob South-Klein. Feeble, you ask? Well, I'll tell you why. It's a slightly slimmer show this week. Paul should just go ahead and sack me on the spot, as after days and days of hard labour and sending various Sheffield United and Swansea fans messages on Twitter, postcards in the mail, carrier pigeons with little notes tied to their feet, I've been unable to source an opposition view at all this week for either our fixture against Sheffield United tomorrow night, that's Friday, up at Bramall Lane, or Swansea on Monday. So we've got a veritable footballing feast this bank holiday weekend, but unfortunately everyone seems to have a busy social life, not being able to commit to recording with me this week. However, fret not, because our good friend James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle has spent 25 minutes of his time offering valuable insight into what we can expect across both of those games. Rather comedically, there's going to be a bit in a minute where I say that we've just been speaking to a Sheffield United fan, but we haven't, so I lied to you all. Please sue me. Don't sue me. I don't have any legal representation. Let's just briefly introduce both of those weekend games then. First of all, we've got a tricky away trip at Sheffield United. We've got to go all the way up to Bramall Lane at 3 p.m. on a Friday. 3 p.m. on a Friday is unheard of. The Blades have been in scattergun form, a real mixed bag. I think they've had a couple of wins, a couple of draws, a couple of losses in their last six. Don't hold me to that. You'd think I'd have the facts and figures to hand, but clearly not. Our pal Talk Reading tweeted earlier today saying that since going 10 league games unbeaten against the Blades between 2003 and 2008, we've now followed it up with 10 games without a win against Sheffield United. Let's see if we can break the streak tomorrow night, shall we? And then there's no let up, because after that, a couple of days later, we're facing off against Swansea, who are in much better form, unbeaten in the last five, four of those wins. And they have to play Barnsley, our fellow relegation rivals, tomorrow night as well, whilst we're facing off against the Blades. So all to play for in the run-in. Let's hear what James Earnshaw has to say about both of those games. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Ever since Paul wrote me into doing the preview podcast as new host, I've really appreciated the support and the comments and the retweets and the likes on Twitter. So keep them coming. Let's have some fun this week. Enjoy the bank holiday. Hopefully it's sunny. Have a very happy Easter. Let's get right into it. Buongiorno. You're back after the break. We've just said goodbye to Mr. Blades fan. We've got the next best thing now. James Earnshaw's back for his third consecutive preview podcast appearance. How about that? We should start giving you, in international fixtures where players get caps.
Yeah, cap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're building up quite the EPR cap collection. How are you, James?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Just about recovered from the Cardiff game, in no small part due to me getting extraordinarily mashed at Blue Collar Food before the game. How did you find the Cardiff game? Were you over it fairly quickly? You still sore? Was it a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I wish I could have got matched before the game, to be fair. it was a massive missed opportunity after going 1-0 up and bossing the first half. But we didn't deserve anything from the game. So I don't mind sort of, well, I do mind, but they're easy to get over results when you feel they're fair. And we deserve to lose overall. So it wasn't one that I sort of lingered on. But now it's just two sort of really, really difficult games in such a short space of time that I can't see us sort of getting anything from, which is disappointing.
Yeah, see, I keep on forgetting that you actually work for a living and that you weren't able to drink before the Cardiff game.
Yeah, I know. You know, I have to make most of it after.
That's it, you know. Work hard, play hard. You know, I imagine in my mind's eye, the Reading Chronicle offices is just like one non-stop bunga bunga party, like Silvio Berlusconi. It's ever since Benji left. You know, Benji was, I imagine, like the party animal down at Chronicle HQ.
We took him to Blue Collar once. He has seen the delights that Reading has to offer.
I mean, the Newark curse has gone on, hasn't it? I saw you tweeting this week about how ever since he's gone to Southampton, they've just started getting battered 6-0 and all sorts. He's, that man is cursed.
He is. Charlton almost went bust. I think it took him 3 months to see a Reading win, and then he'd lost 6-0 in Southampton's first game.
He's like this shadowy figure in the background, a bit like Kia Jurabchin. He's like, wherever he goes to, like he's always causing carnage. You briefly mentioned our tough run of fixtures coming up. Let's just get straight into it and talk about those back-to-back games, because you can't really get much tougher than Sheffield United's promotion hopefuls, followed by Swansea, who we did beat earlier in the season, let's not forget, with that iconic Andy Carroll row your boat celebration. Which of those two games do you think is the most eminently winnable? I know you've said that you're not optimistic of us picking up anything, but if you had to put your cards down, James, where do you reckon we can sneak a point or two or three?
Would be very Reading, wouldn't it, to go and win away at Sheffield United? I think they've got the best home record, or one of. I think they haven't lost in at least eight home games. I reckon there's a point to be had in both games. I can't see us winning, But, you know, we shouldn't be scared of them, I don't think.
Yeah, I was being lambasted on the post-match podcast at the weekend because I said, I took a risk and said that the most winnable game was actually going to be Sheffield United. Because there's something about Reading, like you say, it's a very Reading thing to go and beat a team that we're not meant to beat. All right, we've seen it this season, we've seen it in seasons before. And I don't know, Swansea, last time we spoke, they just beat Cardiff 4-0, and they picked up another win, I think, on the weekend. So they're in form. Obviously, our unbeaten streak's come to an end, but I don't know. Swansea seem to give me the jitters a bit more than Sheffield United do. And we were talking about how we beat Blackburn, we nicked a point against Bournemouth. That's the game where I see as getting the points. Let's just talk about the danger men for both teams. I mean, Sheffield United just come down, obviously, from the Premier League. They've still got a bit of Premier League quality knocking around, haven't they?
Yeah. Sanderberg. Obviously, Morgan Gibbs-White has absolutely lit up the league for them so far this season. And Heckenbottom said in his pre-match game that, because obviously Billy Sharp's been injured, but he said that now they're at the point of the season where they might have to put him in just to sort of get him over the line, which no Reading fan wants to see Billy Sharp, because he scores goals, and he especially scores goals against Reading.
And it's curse to the former player as well, because I think I very briefly, embarrassingly, had a Billy Sharp shirt, actually.
Oh, God.
I must have been one of the only Reading fans who've got Billy Sharp printed on the back. You should never...
You've got a lone player. Never get
a loney on the back of your shirt. Never. There's a guy who I know from my Bushwatch exploits, and we still follow each other on Twitter. Andrew Savory. Shout out to you, Andrew. I hope you're getting on all right. He might be listening. You never know. He had the ignominy of getting Rhys Oxford printed on the back of his Reading shirt once upon a time. Can you imagine?
I liked Rhys Oxford, actually.
And then he kind of slipped off the map, didn't he?
He got his head stamped on, didn't he, at the Leeds game?
To be honest,
He played in the 7-0 defeat to Norwich, or 7-1, and then he was never seen ever again.
That will derail anyone's career, getting your head stamped on, though, won't it? It's like doing Nelson Oliveira. Yeah.
No, that year, the Sharp year was the prime Royston Drenthe back on the Sharp shirt. Yeah, and you missed the trick.
everyone, every man, woman, child, dog had Royce and Drenthe on the back of their
shirt. Wait till you hear who I had that season.
Go on. I almost don't want to know. Go on, James.
Wayne Bridge.
In yeah! Big up Wazza. The real Wazza.
Move along.
I mean, move along, Wayne Rooney. Like, that's like a proper Wayne to get on the back of your shirt. So
I think Wayne Bridge played about 7 games before he got injured for the season.
And obviously he came to us like directly after all the John Terry stuff had kind of gone down as well, you know, like, in the years intervening. So like we were almost like rehab for him. He's going out. He's married to one of the Saturdays now, though.
Yeah, Frankie. Yeah,
so Frankie. What goes around comes around. this mad tangent came all about talking about Billy Sharp. So obviously. Talking about their strikers, they've also got Ollie McBurney, a former Swansea player, let's not forget. So that's, I guess, the link between both of our fixtures this week, the Ollie McBurney factor. I once saw him score a brace against... No, I think he scored one goal against Reading in a 2-0 defeat under Paul Clement, another former
Swan. Didn't he score in the 4-1? Was he playing in the 4-1 defeat we had on the opening day of 2018 or whenever it was?
I feel like that rings bells as well. I'm not going to fact check you.
Reading had that tweet saying "New Year, New Start, New Era," and then within 1 minute, 1-0 Swansea. It was just, this is no new era. This is the same era.
Yeah, we really are a club of false dawns, aren't we? So that's Sheffield United. They'd like to play a back three as well. I think of Sheffield United now, I think of, I mean, obviously Chris Wilder's not knocking around in Sheffield anymore, but I guess that's something that Paul Heckenbottom's kept going is their back three, back five. Yeah, Chris Ender Basham. Stevens, Sam Bulldog, the more talented Bulldogs sibling, of course.
Chris Basham.
And a former Royal, of course, in Ollie Norwood, who, since it's not often that a Reading player leaves Berkshire and continues to do well. Usually, a lad leaves Reading because he thinks the grass is greener, and it turns out not to be so rosy. But Ollie Norwood's gone from strength to strength and got promoted several times since leaving us, so it'll be nice to see him again. Right, moving on to the Welsh contingent. Let's talk about Swansea and who we're worried about there. Like we said, good form. You look at them on paper. I'm always a fan of, again, mad tangent. I'm always a fan of Swansea's kits. I'm a big fan of their, they've changed their logo for this season because like us, I think they're celebrating some sort of anniversary. And they're class, man. And like you've got the classy University of Swansea sponsor. And I think if there were to be a league table compiled on like quality of home kit, Swansea would be up there.
Yeah, but it's white though. It's just plain, isn't it?
I like a plain shirt. Well,
it looks
man.
Smart, but it's just a bit plain. But I can't remember the last time Swansea, we beat Swansea at home. In fact, I don't think in my time of sort of remembering watching them, I don't think we've ever beat Swansea at home.
Obviously responsible for a lot of upset over the years.
Well, they doubled us to the playoff final year. Obviously beat us in the playoff final.
Yeah.
I think we beat them away in the Premier League, but I think they beat us at home. And then we haven't played them really since.
I cried profusely after they beat us at Wembley in 2011. It was like proper manful. I think at the time I was like 14, but still, like it was
That was
it
peak Reading though, just giving you a glimmer of hope.
Dark days. And then to cruelly snuff it out and extinguish... Yeah. All like your hopes and dreams in the second half.
There would be what a year it would be the year after. So I wouldn't change it.
Exactly. Again, I'm starting to think I should be calling this episode "What Goes Around Comes Around." We've talked about Wayne Bridge and Frankie from the Saturdays, and Reading getting promoted after being battered by Swansea in the playoff final. Danger man for Swansea. Another fan of a back three / back five formation. That's going to be the flavour of the week, I think. Joel Pirrow has just scored twice for him against Derby. He's a bit of a...
I think he's on 20 for the season now.
Yeah, he's lively. And obviously, Obafemi, who scored twice in the Welsh Derby, I think they've signed him permanently from Southampton now, haven't they? But he's another real danger man. Grimes as well. Fulton was one that was linked with us at some point which obviously never materialised. So bottom line is they've got players. Latibodier as well is a decent centre back. I'm looking at the lineups for Swansea Derby, by the way. Another side note, there's a dude up front for Derby called Plange.
Yeah, Luke Plange, or Liam Plange,
what,
I think.
What a visceral name.
I think he signed for Crystal Palace because he scored a couple before Christmas, but then they've loaned him back for nothing till the end of the season to help him
always,
out. With,
always handy, yeah.
I think. Someone did that. I don't know if it's Plange.
Imagine if your name was James Plange.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's such, like, such an air of authority about it. It's brilliant. So what we've learned in this mad 5 minutes is both Swansea and the Blades, dangerous. And I'm starting to think that your assessment of us going away pointless might not be so far from the truth. So, fingers crossed. Let's quickly then round up the week's news as well, because there have been murmurings in the Twitterverse and in the papers that Paul Ince, interim Reading manager, might not be so interim after all. Yeah. And the Reading owners are interested in keeping him on for next season. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it was kind of inevitable. I mean, it was one of those ones where once he came in, I never really had a doubt that he wasn't going to be here long term, unless we'd gone down. Just strikes me as the easy option, but it's a very Reading option, isn't it, really? You know, but if ultimately I don't mind who comes in, because they're in for an impossible task next year with however few players we've got, that we're going to be in another battle. So it's just got to be someone that can come in and keep us afloat again next year. But I just want us to pick someone and just stick with them and actually try and build something, rather than just this time next year have already gone through another two managers. Either go for a long-term vision and just get someone and stick with them until they see their, you know, what they want to do, or just bring in someone experienced that, you know, full well is only going to be there next year, but they're going to do a job for next. Just, there just needs to be a plan, which there doesn't seem to be and hasn't seemed to have been for quite a number of years.
Yeah, Alex Everson on the post-match Cardiff pod was basically saying we should earmark 2023 back end of 2023 for like rebuild season to begin, and if Ince can put us in a good spot prior to bringing in like a project manager, then, you know, maybe I guess then all the hysteria is a bit unwarranted. But like you say, there was an inevitability about it. I mean, the Reading owners don't seem to really do forward planning.
It strikes me a bit of a bowing, and ultimately we were all disappointed. Well, at the time we thought, we actually just about began to like Bowen by the time he left. And looking back, he had us very stable. He brought in some good players for free who kind of have done really well, done better than some of the big name signings. So maybe it's sort of slightly underwhelming to the eye is what we need at the minute.
Yeah. I mean, because you look at the players at our disposal, our player pool is only going to get worse following this summer with the exodus that is brewing. And talking about players who are still here for the time being but are out of contract at the end of the year, let's talk Alan Halilovic, because in recent weeks it's been like one big long game of where's Alan with an A, like a where's Wally, because he's
on Twitter seemingly. Very
well, that's it.
On Twitter.
He's put himself about on Twitter saying, you know, fit and ready to go. And then yesterday, very cryptically, posted a link to a video of him, I think, scoring a goal.
Yeah, some of his likes as well. Some of the tweets from comments of fans, his likes have been very.
But you can always, like, people's likes on Twitter are always a window into the soul. You can always get a sense. You can always get a sense of who a person really is based on their Twitter like. I'm just waiting for the day when people's bookmark folder is made public as well. That's going to be like the end time. But yeah, Alan Halilovic, like you say, very vocal, sort of, but vocal without being vocal, if that makes sense. You know, sort of leading little likes and comments on Twitter. Obviously not in favour for whatever reason with Paul Ince, whether he's fit or not. What do you think is going on? Is it just that Ince doesn't fancy him? Does he not fit the shape? Do you reckon there's been a falling out? I mean, it's all speculative, but what's your gut feeling, James? What's going on there?
I've got absolutely no idea. I mean, Ince was very, very quick to shut him down yesterday when, I can't remember who it was, but somebody mentioned whether he was available and he just said, nope, just didn't explain or, you know, sort of progress any further than just, nope, he's not an option. I saw him at the training ground yesterday in the gym. So he was there. So he's about the place. But no, I wish I could know. In fact, it's probably something I'm going to try and ask next week.
Yeah, because
not that I might get an answer, but
you want a harmonious squad at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And we've seen with Reading squads in the past, whenever like a player is frozen out, either justly or unjustly, you know, you look recently at the likes of Gareth McCleary, who was on the naughty step for weird reasons under Jose Gomez.
Liam Moore.
Liam Moore, indeed, who, of course, is back now that he's had his season-ending injury on loan at Stoke. So it's all this behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, might have an effect on the running, and we'll just have to kind of keep an eye on it to see if it goes any further. And finally,
I wouldn't put any money on him signing a new deal, though.
No, I think that's spot on. I mean, we've talked about players who are out of contract and some having signed this year, the likes of Junior Hoyler. I think Hoyler is one that we'd love to keep on. Halilovic, unfairly or not, because I've liked Halilovic when he's played, obviously has had his real problems with injuries and whatnot, but he's provided a bit of a spark, especially in games when Swift's been missing, and he's just another creative outlet, really. So if you're listening, Alan, I hope you get a break, because, you know, we'd like to see you in the blue and white before you depart in the summer. But if not, just we'll send Paul into an email. You know, we'll say, you know, come on, Paul, give Alan the chance. Just, you know, give Peace a chance. Finally, another lad he's actually signed on for next season, Scott Dan. He's out for the season, but now we're at the stage of the season now where we say he's out for the season, but in reality, he's out for the next five games. Yeah. He's one we were saying on the post-match Cardiff pod, how it's weird that, given that we know Dan's going to be here next year and Mike Morrison is out of contract, it's weird how Morrison's getting more of a looking at the moment than Dan. Do you have an opinion on that either way? Obviously, he's a bit of a miss, given that our defence is already a bit thin. What do you make of Dan being out? And should he have been playing more recently?
I don't know. He's not really, even when he was fit, he wasn't playing a great deal, was he, under Ince? I mean, he was on the bench and came on just to kind of shore things up for the last sort of 5 minutes against Stoke. But he's hardly been sort of the first name on the team sheet. I mean, he's a good guy probably to have around the place, sort of experience-wise. And who knows, maybe there's one of those contracts with a view to sort of helping the youngsters or sort of going on to the coaching thing in the end. But no, I'd love Morrison to sign a new deal. I think the way he plays, I don't think he's necessarily going to lose anything in the next year that means he can't play again next season. You know, it's not like he relies on pace or anything like that. So the stuff he's doing now, he should still be able to do in a year, 2 years time. He's popped up with some important goals this season. And he just seems to be a really solid sort of bloke to have around. So yeah, I kind of can see why people would prefer him to have had a new contract over Dan, but who knows, in an ideal world, maybe when we know what league we're in, they might sign Morrison up for another year anyway. You can have them both.
Reading love a signing like a Scott Dan or a Michael Morrison, who are clearly like good characters having the background, doing a bit of the, you know, coaching, because Morrison's obviously doing the coaching stuff with the youngsters, and you know, I'd love
John O'Shea came in.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was John O'Shea older than the others.
And obviously Paul McShane, who we might not have done the coaching stuff with Reading, but then he then subsequently went away and is doing some development role at Man United, you know, back where he broke through the academy. So, you know, that's clearly a factor when we look at the more old heads, you know, coming in at the back. So we'll have to see what transpires, but we won't be seeing Scott Dan for the rest of the season. And let's, before we wrap up and get your score predictions for the Sheffield United and Swansea games, James, it's been 10 years almost to the day that, since that night, that away day in Southampton.
10 years yesterday.
Indeed, which basically, that was the game which would ultimately see us promoted to the Premier League. And I think most Reading fans would agree that it was one of, if not the best away days in recent memory. Were you there that night?
No, I was 11. So I was going to the home games at that point. But I hadn't gone away until a couple of years later. But yeah, I remember watching it.
Oh, we were, because my brother and I as well were watching it, and my granddad was doing laps around the living room. It was, unbelievable, because we're a similar age. And for me, in terms of like formative Reading memories, that's the one. It's weirdly, I don't know whether this is like a sign or not. Adam Lafondre, who obviously scored that famous goal that night, he got an in-form Team of the Week card on FIFA this week.
Yeah, he's got a hat-trick, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a hat-trick in the Sydney. Yeah.
That's it. So there's been a load of pieces and podcasts and articles looking back on that game a decade ago. You can go and read one on the Towerhurst end with LaFondre. It was like LaFondre's own take on that night. Paul's going to tell me off that I've mentioned the Towerhurst end yet again. but closer to home on home turf on Elm Park Royals, you can go away and listen to not one but two parts of an interview with our very own Brian McDermott, who we were saying before I hit record, I want him to be my dad. I love him to bits, mate. He's he's
my manager. I was a bit too young to have Coppel. McDermott is my manager that I grew up with.
McDermott, I genuinely don't think there's a bad bone in that bloke's body. You were saying that it was his birthday last week, and it was his birthday, and you wanted to get an interview with him for the Chronicle, and you were worried whether he was going to reply or not, and he did, saying, "Oh, you know, thanks for the birthday." Which is just everyone's got a Brian McDermott story, and if you want to hear some more Brian McDermott stories, go and listen to Paul Mann interviewing Brian McDermott, or here on Elm Park Royals. You can get on Spotify. You can follow the link on our Twitter. Just inject it directly into your veins. It's a good listen, I promise. And I suppose all that's left to do, James, before we say goodbye to you for another week, give us your score predictions. Firstly, for Sheffield United, what do you think?
I'm going to go 1-1. I reckon we'll make a point.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to put my neck on the line and say 1-0. To Reading.
No.
Well. Last time I predicted a Reading, I predicted a win and a clean sheet against Cardiff. We know how that ended, so sorry, everyone. and then finally, on the subject of Welsh teams, let's hear your Swansea score prediction as well.
2-0 Swansea.
Okay. All right. So you're full of optimism this week.
I'll take a point over those two games. We've got to do is just sort of keep sort of plodding along now and picking up the points here and there.
That's it. Because the run-in will be done before we know. I'm gonna predict a 1-1. How about that? Two low-scoring games.
You take them, 4 points from those two games, Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I've received like a blow to the head over the last few weeks. I'm never usually this one. Especially like when there's not a lot to back up my like optimism, but never mind. Let's see what happens over those two
Anything
games.
Anything can happen. It's football.
You can join us for the post-match podcast on Tuesday night. We'll hopefully have that one up. So and we'll have all of the fallout across those two fixtures. After the break, we'll be speaking to the Swansea contingent, see what they have to say ahead of our game on Monday. Thanks for joining us, James. We'll see you again soon.
Have a good Easter.
Thank you. Eat lots of eggs.
Yeah, you too.
cheers. And we'll see or hear you guys at home after this very short break. Hello, it's me again. No, I'm not actually a Swansea fan. It's Jacob. That's the end of the episode. If you've made it this far, congratulations. Put your feet up. Make yourself a coffee or something harder. And we'll see you on Tuesday, or rather hear you on Tuesday, dissecting all the fallout from the Swansea game and also probably a bit of whatever's going to happen tomorrow night against Sheffield United. I can't wait, and hopefully neither can you too. Thanks for joining us again for this rather unorthodox episode of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. Sometimes it just doesn't work out quite as you expect, but that's just how it goes. And there's probably a lesson in there, but before I bore you anymore, it's been Jacob Southcline here and a bit of James Earnshaw. See you next time.